This is Sunday Night Live. Thank you, congregation, and you may be seated. Thank you for being present in our service tonight. We're delighted to share our Sunday night service not only with the congregation here, but the 87 nations around the world. We're going into China. They have 100 million internet capacity in China. Isn't that great? So many millions are listening. We go in strong into New York City, where they have thousands of computers. Right now in office buildings and there in homes, out in the Bedouin Desert, wherever you are listening, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Financial systems fail. Political tides turn. But Jesus Christ is the same, and He, not Obama, Jesus is the hope of the world. Let's give Him a hand praise tonight that He is the hope of the world. We're so blessed with our messages that come from week to week. We can just share a few of them because time is of the essence. But here is our missions director, Missionary Gerald Schultz, to share a few messages with you. And then when he's finished, we'll hear from our special guest before I preach tonight. Let's give Brother Schultz a good welcome to the Sunday Night Live microphone. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. So good to be back at Calvary Church on this Sunday night, first part of a new month and first part of a new year and a new beginning. The old year is past, but the old ways are stronger than ever. We're not going to turn aside. We're not going to look back. We're going to continue forward in Jesus' name. So good to be amongst such a wonderful gathering of people, all these smiling faces. We want to greet our internet listeners and encourage them in the name of the Lord. We have a couple of messages, and time limits us, but let me read a few. This says Pastor Hicks and Missionary Schultz, greeting in Christ Jesus. I am a professor in a theology seminary. I am a professor in a theology seminary here in London, England. Never have I read or heard more profound truth than is expressed by the messages on Sunday Night Live. Keep up the good work. We are all still learning. Professor Abraham Zeno from London, England. Isn't that marvelous? That thrills my soul. Another one, Brother Hicks. I first heard you in a tent revival in Houston, Texas. With much opposition, I came to the Lord, was baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Sad to say, I drifted away. I long to pray back through again. Please put me on your prayer list. Thank you very much. And simply signed, George. The next message, Pastor, the river runs through it, was a great message of power and inspiration. Praying for you, M.R. from Oklahoma. Now, these kind of messages are what encourages Pastor Hicks, encourages the entire staff here at Calvary Church and on Sunday Night Live, and we appreciate these messages, and we encourage anyone listening, even the people in the congregation, send a message to Pastor Hicks and encourage him, encourage the staff, and thereby encouraging your belief and faith in the Word of God as it goes forth. You can write Pastor Hicks or Calvary Church at Post Office Box 715, De Quincey, Louisiana, 70633. Or you can send him an email message. The email address is CalvarySNL. That's one word. CalvarySNL@AOL.com. And now, here is Pastor Hicks to introduce to you our dear friend, Reverend Leo Anderson, who will lead us to the throne of God in prayer.
Thank you, Brother Schultz. Let's stand, if you will, please, congregation, across this nation and all other countries of the world. This man has carried the good news of the gospel. We've been friends for over a half century, and we're honored to have Leo Anderson in our pulpit tonight. He shared the ministry that God had given him with us during my recent illness, and I'm so glad to welcome him back. He's going to greet his friends out there across America, great camp meetings and crusades and revivals. They'll be glad to hear from him again. And then he's going to ask God to bless the message, because I'm preaching tonight on the subject, the greatest day in the life of Jesus Christ. Let's welcome Brother Anderson to the Sunday Night Live microphone. Brother Anderson.
Giving honor to Pastor Hicks and our august audience around the world, it is so good to be alive.
Amen.
In this hour, and to be part of the move of God that we are witnessing across the world. And the reports that we're receiving of what God is actually doing in the lives of people. And these reports that are coming in over this internet broadcast from Calvary thrills my heart. And I'm just excited to be part of this great move of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly,
amen,
more than we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I've got power, and I want it to work.
Amen.
For the Bible said that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise God. And the Bible said, know ye not that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I'm for one that wants it to work. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And folks, the reports are coming in from various countries and around the world of miracles and signs and wonders, praise God, that are taking place. You know, I read a report the other day where a Muslim was just walking down the road, and all of a sudden a light shone from heaven and knocked him down. And he was startled, because all he knew was the Muslim religion, and it startled him. And I said, when I read that, I said, well, that happened before to the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
And this man received the truth, praise God, without a preacher. Without a preacher. You know, most of these people wouldn't listen to a preacher. So God has to send special revelations and special dreams and special manifestations. And Acts chapter 2 said that that would actually take place in the end times, that there'd be signs in the heavens and in the earth, praise God. You know, the reason God used the method over the Apostle Paul and with the Apostle Paul in his conversion was that Paul wouldn't have listened to any preacher. If a preacher would have showed up trying to witness to the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, he would have had him killed, or he would have had him arrested. So God said, I'm going to have to give him a special visit. And so my friends that are listening to me around the world tonight, you that are hungry for truth, you that are hungry for the light of the gospel, you that are hungry for the miraculous, ask God to reveal himself to you right now through this broadcast. Hallelujah. Let us pray for this broadcast, that it will touch the honest, sincere seekers of the truth. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost as I stand here tonight, and I pray that our beloved pastor, Brother Marvin Hicks, will be anointed of God, and that his words will be the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch your hungry hearts tonight. Father, as we stand here in this assembly, on this momentous night, reaching millions around the world, I pray that your word will be, as one writer said, a fire. Oh, and one writer said, your word is like a hammer. The Apostle Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for he said it is the power, the gospel, preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I humbly and ask you this night, God, that you'll anoint this service, touch the hungry hearts, touch those that are sick in their bodies, touch the blind, the halt, the lame, go into the hospitals, the jails, the prisons. Oh, God, go into the homes of those that are hungry for truth and reveal your great name and your great plan of salvation tonight. We give honor and we give praise for this great opportunity, Lord, of proclaiming one more time that you're real and that you're just as up to date tonight as you was 2,000 years ago. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Anderson. Send it out, Lord. And let's give him praise as we begin to tell the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. God bless you for being here at Calvary tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, 1 verse, verse 20. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. My subject is the greatest day in the life of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. There are two ways the Holy Ghost moves. He moves in an explosive manner, as on the day of Pentecost. And then the Spirit of God moves in a controlled burn, equips us for the long haul. I illustrate it like this. You take a 20-gallon can of gasoline. You drop a match in it, that is an explosion. And then you take the same gasoline under controlled power, and a passenger can ride in a car 300 or 400 miles distance. One instant explosion, the other over many miles. Now, Jesus promised those apostles in Acts 1, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And I'm preaching tonight on the greatest day in the life of Jesus. It was not at creation. Oh, he was there, not as another person apart from God, because the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, that's the secret. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who was with God in the beginning? His Word. Not another person from himself. No more than your Word is another person from you. You are one person, but you have a Word. And the Logos existed not as the Son of God in creation, but as the Word with God and the Word that was God. And when God, from fiery fingertips, flung worlds into existence, 30 billion stars, all of them bigger than the earth, flung out into the atmosphere and stratosphere. God did it. And it was His Word. By Jesus, the Bible said, were all things made. And without Him, not anything was made that was made. He was the Creator. And it was a great day of creation when God made all things. But that was not the greatest day in the life of Jesus. What about the resurrection morning, when one throb of His pulse was sufficient to burst asunder the bands of death, break the seal, throw open the door, roll the stone away, and stun the Roman guard, and give you and me the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That was a great day also. But that was not the greatest day in the life of Jesus. So He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. Acts 2:24 says, Him whom God hath raised from the dead. But that was not His greatest day. The ascension day, when He gathered His apostles around Him, and He ascended from the Mount of Olives and went back to heaven, just a little speck, and then disappeared altogether. That was a great day, but that was not the greatest day in the life of Jesus Christ. What was His greatest day? It was on the first Pentecost, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do I say with confidence that was the greatest day in the life of Jesus? First, my text says, in that day. You don't know it now, but in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I will be in you. Think of that. In the flesh, He was limited. There are some things He could not do. He could not be at Nazareth and Jerusalem at the same time as a fleshly person. I can think of many reasons why He should have ascended, should have stayed here. He could have raised their dead, healed their leprosy, walked on their seas, and provided food and all the blessings that He had given them. He could keep doing it again and again. But that's just a few reasons why He should have stayed. But I can think tonight of 800 million reasons why He had to ascend to heaven, because the Holy Ghost has been poured out on 800 million people today, and they spoke it in other tongues. And for all of you Catholics that might resent such a statement, and I'm going to say this, not putting down the Pentecostals, because we've been pioneers in this experience, but ladies and gentlemen, statistics prove there are more Roman Catholics filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, called the charismatic renewal, than all the Pentecostals put together. You say, why did God give them the Holy Ghost? To lead and to guide them into all truth. And it is my prayer that they too will come to understand the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. So John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He will send you another Comforter. That did not mean another person. Jesus had been the Comforter in the flesh. He had healed their sick, raised their dead, blessed them when they needed blessing, and give them strength and provide food and all the miracles that He did. But that was their Comforter in the flesh. But He said, I'm going to pray the Father. He will send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know Him because He's with you. But the world doesn't know Him because they haven't seen Him. But you have. In John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing the greatest revelation man ever heard. The Holy Ghost is the spiritual manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's why Pentecost was the greatest day, when He exploded Himself into 3,000 people. Oh, thank God. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. What did He mean by that statement? Because the Comforter will be me in another manifestation. So I have to go in order to come back. Oh, I see that. I hope you do. I'm praying God will open your mind and your heart. It's expedient that I go. And Jesus said, John 7:38-39, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they who believed would receive, because the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, on the day of Pentecost, that was Jesus Christ in spiritual manifestation, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared in them cloven tongues like of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Why do you say that was Jesus? Colossians 1:27 says, the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. He literally, on the greatest day in his life, exploded himself into 3,000 souls and a day into millions. I have a book authored by one of the most notable evangelists in religion today, evangelist Benny Hinn. The subject of the book is Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And in that book, Benny Hinn writes this, quote, the Father and Jesus are in heaven. The Holy Ghost is the only person in the Godhead who is here on this earth, end quote. Wouldn't it be nice if he'd read the Bible where Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Let's give God praise that he hasn't forsaken us, that he's still here. What a doctrine that offends me to say Jesus Christ is not here when he and his glory is omnipresent. But now, let's talk just a few minutes about power under control. God is interested in the long haul. I've had this on my mind for several days, and our congregation has heard me mention it. I'm concerned something is to be said for faithfulness. It takes a long time to find your niche in a church. Support that church. Walk with God. Take care of your pastor and the elders. And live for God. It's not an overnight experience. You can be saved quickly. But faithfulness is a virtue that every child of God should strive for. Can I hear an amen? Now, one lady said, you know, I started out many years ago, and a lot of Christians were spiritual. They just literally passed me up. But she said, in the last 50 years, I sure met a lot of them coming back. One dear old lady backslid once a year. That was her schedule. She'd go to a camp meeting and pray full. Oh, she was shouting the praises of God. Then in the winter time, she'd backslide, go back to the camp and pray through the next year. And they kept asking her, honey, why do you fail God every year? She said, I don't know. It just fizzles out. This is what happened to Demas, the Apostle Paul's companion. Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. God is interested in the long haul. May not be great fireworks, and you may not get the attention of the world, but be ye filled with the Spirit and be faithful. And if you're faithful unto death, God said, I will give you a crown of life. Now I'm going to hurry here to a conclusion. John chapter 15 is a chapter that all of God's people are to read very frequently. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. I want you to remember something. 12 times in John 15 from verse 4 to 16, the word abide is mentioned. I'm preaching tonight of a reciprocal indwelling. Jesus said, I will be in you and you in me. I have a little quibble sometime with some of the charismatics that no longer say baptized with the Holy Ghost. They say baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that term is in the Bible and I believe you're baptized in the Spirit. But don't limit it to that. I illustrate it like this. If you take a jar with a lid on it, and put it inside of a bucket of water. You can pull that jar up, and that jar has been immersed in that water, but no water is in the jar. All of you charismatics, listen to me. You need to take the lid off and let the Holy Ghost come inside. If you don't get it on the inside, you don't have it. You may be baptized in all kinds of spirits, but you need to let the Spirit of God come and dwell in you. And I ask you now what the Apostle Paul asked the churches in the Ephesians. Hit them broadside with a double-barreled spiritual shotgun. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'm going to ask you out there in this audience tonight, across the nations of the world, you might have joined a church or shook a preacher's hand. You might have made a decision, prayed a little sinner's prayer. But I'm going to ask you, please, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now I want everybody hearing me to be filled with the Spirit. Because you see, that's why Jesus came, lived and died and rose again, so He could come back at Pentecost and enthrone Himself in the hearts of men and women. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've had this experience for over 65 years, and it's sweeter every day I live. The most remarkable thing about this ministry is I get just as excited tonight as on that first message in 1945 in Panama City, Florida. It's still the anointing and the blessing and the power of God. And it comes from within. Not intellectually, but from the heart. And that's how I leave you tonight. Brother Armstrong will take us off the air. I want to leave you with a word. Don't ever forget. If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you have a very spark of God Himself in you. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. And I ask you, church, I ask you, worldwide audience tonight, if the spark is so great. Oh, what must be the flame?
We appreciate you clicking on the Sunday Night Live, an international broadcast ministry that's on the air 24/7. This broadcast service features a ministry of our pastor, Marvin Hicks, and comes to you each week from the Calvary Church in De Quincy, Louisiana. Now, when you visit us here, you're going to find a warm welcome and a spiritual atmosphere. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, we're asking God to especially bless you this week, because we know He loves you, and we do too.